Hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm Mark Meraz. I'm a program manager on SharePoint for Microsoft. And I'm going to be talking today about video for Office 365. So today's session is not going to be so much of how you build your own video portal yourself. It's going to be a sneak peek at a feature that we are building for Office 365 on top of SharePoint Online and Azure Media Services. That is Video Portal, and it's going to be ready for you to build, ready for you to use right away. And so I'm not going to go deep into the architecture of how it is, but we'll touch on it a little bit. We'll talk about a little bit about the technology behind it and how it works, that sort of thing. So let's jump in. So here's the agenda for today. We're going to talk a little bit about SharePoint's vision for next-gen portals. We'll go over our iPhone app and the video portal out of box and get into key uses and architecture and the back-end Azure Media Services stuff. So SharePoint is embarking on this vision in next-generation portals. And that vision is new for us. It's where we're going to make these next-generation portals simple and fast and mobile. They're going to be portals that aren't going to take $1 million and 1 million hours to set up and to use. They're going to be portals that are going to be out of the box. They're going to be simple. They're going to be easy. And they're going to be mobile. They're going to be where we allow the end users to focus on the content and what they put inside the portal and how they display it, and let us worry about how to make it look great on any device and make it looking fresh and new and that sort of thing. So for us, video, the video portal that we're going to talk about today, is that first example in this next-gen portal vision that we have for SharePoint. And why did we start with video? We talked to a lot of customers. We've done some focus groups. And this is what people are saying. They're saying that video is now a requirement and not a luxury. It's, years ago, it was just something cool to have. It would be great to have video inside your organization and your enterprise. But that's not true anymore. Now, video is just one of those requirements. It's something that people expect to have as part of doing their business. And so that's why we're starting our vision for next generation portals with this video portal that we're talking about today. So video, it's really how you and I and everyone in the world, it's how we communicate and educate and collaborate. It's how we convey ideas and concepts and changes in our organization. It's how we educate people in our organization. It's how we onboard and train. It's how we collaborate and share best practices. You know, all of these sessions get recorded, and then they get watched again online with video. And so we know that video is becoming more and more important in everyone's organizations. And so that's why we're embarking on this. So I kind of want to take a step back here and kind of give a mini history lesson on video here. Indulge me for a second. And I kind of go over the reach that video has in our lives. So the first example that I could think of, maybe it's a little exaggerated here, but video in the prehistoric times where cavemen, they etched something on the wall and they ran their torchlight across it, and they could see the, as they move their head, they flicker, and they could see the animals move, and that was maybe the first example of video, right? But only the one guy who could fit into that cave could actually see that at any point in time. But if we jump ahead to the 1890s, Thomas Edison invented the kintograph, which was a camera that was able to take a series of images one after another and put them on a piece of film. And then he invented the kintoscope, which was the viewing machine that you see there in the picture. And it had a series of gears and cogs, and it weaved the film through there, and you turn the handle, and you look through the little viewfinder to see the image as it moved. And in 1893, he set up a public exhibition of it at the Brooklyn Institute. And there was people all around the building lined up outside, but only one person at a time could come in and see that movie. The reach wasn't so big so far yet. But then you jump ahead to the 1920s, and you have thousands and 2,000 people who could fit into the picture palaces of the 20s, where everyone could sit in the same movie theater and watch a video on screen. Then you jump ahead to 1945. There was only about 10,000 televisions in the U.S. Not very big reach, but it's starting to pick up speed and steam on how we can reach people with video. 5 years after that, it jumps from 10,000 TVs in the U.S. to 6 million TVs in the U.S. 10 years after that, 60 million TVs in the U.S. Crazy. Then around 2006, YouTube enters the scene. And in about 2006, they had about 100 million people watching videos on their website per day. Now, we're not quite at the future yet, right? We're not where we're projecting holograms across the entire galaxy or anything like that, where everyone in the entire galaxy can watch the same thing at the same time. But as far as Microsoft, where we are in 2012 and 2014 Olympics, with the London Olympics and the Sochi Olympics, using Azure Media Services, they did some really great stuff with online video streaming. In the London Olympics, there was about 217 million unique people watching video through Azure Media Services. And then the 2014 Olympics, they kind of mentioned it a little bit in the keynote today, they broke a record, 2.1 million people watching one single online event, the men's hockey game, final hockey game. So that's where we are now, and we're bringing the power of Azure Media Services to Office 365 so that it can come down to everyone's organization. So introducing Video for Office 365. It's an out-of-the-box enterprise video streaming portal that's ready to use on day one. So let's jump into the system and actually see what this looks like in action. This is Office 365 video portal. Like I said, it's an out-of-the-box video portal, so there's going to be little to no setup that needs to happen from an admin's point of view in order to get this going and get this set up. It's going to have this structure and ability to be used right away on day one. At the top of the video portal, we have what we're calling spotlights videos. One of the goals as part of our vision for next-gen portals in SharePoint and Office 365 is that we want to bring together the authoritative content with the unauthoritative content. We want to bring with the ad hoc content. We want to bring together the curated content with the uncurated content. And so that's what we're doing here, is the owner of the video portal is allowed to spotlight a handful of videos to the top of the page, kind of advertise them, as these are really important videos for our organization at this time. So we're looking at Contoso's video portal here. They have a new CEO, and so they spotlighted a video from her to the rest of the organization so that when anyone comes here, they could see that right here. Below that, we have popular videos. Those are videos that are trending in your organization. It's powered by the Office Graph and by search. And so those are ability to keep the page looking fresh and new. If you click on popular, you can jump in and see all the videos that are popular, sorted by popularity in your organization. If we jump back to the home page, below the popular section, there are what we're calling spotlight channels. These are channels that the owner of the video portal said, these are really important ones, and I'm going to spotlight those right here on the homepage. So again, allowing you to have that curation ability within the video portal. So Contoso really believes in ongoing training of their employees, that everyone should be always bettering themselves. So they spotlighted the training channel right there at the top of the video portal. So if we click into a video, the video starts playing right away as soon as it loads. And it's using adaptive streaming. So it's the same kind of technology that you're used to as far as Netflix and Hulu and YouTube, where it...
Think about all the data we're collecting in the world now. And we also have new technology...
Where it does the full adaptive streaming. So it measures your bandwidth of what your client has right now. And it varies the output based on what the right format is and the right bandwidth stream to send. So if your bandwidth goes down lower, it'll give you a lower quality video. If your bandwidth goes up, it'll give you a higher quality video. And it's serving up the right video at the right time to the right device. And so you don't have to worry about or think about what codec do I put it in, what size do I put it at. All of that sort of stuff is taken care of for you. So right here on the video player page, you get to fill out metadata about the video, title, description, who's in the video. There's other videos related at the bottom, so it's a good way to discover. We've also integrated Yammer into the video portal, and we've circled a Yammer conversation around every video. So every video, there'll be a Yammer feed on the side there, and whether you comment in Yammer or you comment right here in the video portal, all of those will surface up around this video so that you can have great conversations around the video. The video is like a good way to put out some information, and then the Yammer is a good opportunity to keep the conversation going about that video. If I click over into the executive corner, it'll take me to the channel that this video came from. since the video portal is meant to be a one-stop shop for where to put your video, it's the one destination in your organization of where to put videos, we need to organize them a bit. And the way that we decided to organize them is with channels. And so you'll be able to create different channels for different things that you have in your organization. And channels will be the concept to collect videos, but it'll also be the concept to assign permissions and see who has view rights on the channel and who has edit rights on the channel and that sort of thing. So again, in the channel, you get the ability to spotlight videos at the top. So that now the owner of this video channel gets to pick what videos to curate to the top that they feel are important for their organization, for their channel. And then below that, you get the list of all the videos that are in that channel. And on the left is what we have, what we're calling categories. And categories is just a way to further classify videos inside of a channel. So here, their executive corner channel, they've organized by quarterly briefs, roundtable. If you click on one of those, it'll just filter down the results to those videos. So the other thing that we said as part of Next Gen Portals, as part of our vision, is that it's mobile. And so we're going to switch over and see what the video portal will look like on our iPhone app that we're working on. So I have an iPhone app here. See once you guys can see it. Awesome. And right there, we've created an app for Office Video. You can see it right there. I'll launch it. The app's going to be available in the App Store, just like any of the other Office ones, when we're ready to ship the video portal itself. And this is a native iPhone app that we've created. So you get the same sort of concepts that you have in the video portal on the browser, but now you get them on the phone as well. So at the top, you see spotlight videos. You can flip through those and see the different videos that have been spotlighted by the admin of the video portal. Below that, you get a list of some of the popular videos that are trending in your organization. You have the spotlight channels. There's the training channel. You can click over into the menu and see all of the other channels, and so you can jump to a different channel inside of the video portal and take a look at it. And then if we click on a video, we get to a details page where you can read more about that video itself. And if we click on it, it should start playing. And again, this is doing the adaptive streaming. So the system's figuring out what's the right format to send to this iPhone, and it's sending that right format and doing the adaptive streaming. So we get a lower quality when you have a lower bandwidth and higher quality when you get a higher bandwidth. I don't have the audio hooked up, so that's not why we're not here in the... All right, so let's switch back to the slides. All right, so there's the agenda. We talked about our vision of next-gen portals. Got to see the iPhone app, the video portal. Now let's talk about how all of this comes out of the box and what exact features do you get with it. So we know that enterprise video is different than public video and video that you would put out there for all of the world to see. And so we realize that it has some different attributes to it. Enterprise video really needs to be secure. You need to be able to have that video guarantee that the right people can see it and the right people can't see it, and make sure that only the people you want to see are able to get access to it. Enterprise video needs to be simple. It needs to be really simple to use inside your organization so that people can just drop off their videos and let the rest happen and not have to think a lot about, did they put it in the right format or the wrong format? Was the file too big or too small? They need to be able to make it pretty simple to use. It needs to be fast. It needs to be fast to use and needs to be fast to view it. Enterprise video also really needs to be scalable. So if you are going to have one person watch a video or have everyone in your entire company watch the video at the same time, it needs to scale to that. Or you're going to have lots of people watching lots of videos all at the same time. It needs to scale to that without bringing down your servers. And it really needs to be mobile. In today's environment, work environment, people get a lot of work done on their phones and as they go. And so we need to make sure that we have an enterprise video solution that handles that. So this is what we're building. We're building an out-of-the-box video solution. So these are the things that are going to come out of the box that you get to have. You get channeling. You get the video portal. We'll get that adaptive streaming, just like the technology that you're used to from most video sites out today. We're going to get AES secure delivery so that we guarantee that the video that we're serving up is secured and guaranteed to not leak out to the wrong person. You're going to get mobile apps, and then we're also integrating it with Oslo and with Yammer. Oslo is built on top of the Office Graph. It was talked about a bunch today in the keynote. And we're integrated right now with these two in our version one that we're working on. But this is part of Office 365, so in the future, the video portal will become part of the rest of Office 365 and integrate with more parts of the suite. So out of the box, just start using it. Like I had mentioned, we really are striving to make this as out of the box as possible. So that it's provisioned for you automatically right there, and you can start using it right away. And we're going to create two channels for you on the outset. One of those channels is the Office 365 help channel. And we have two goals with creating this channel for you. One is that we can put in a little bit of seed content in there so you can see what the video portal would look like with content actually in it. You can see what channels look like. You can see how to categorize things. You can do some of those actions with it. And those the second reason is to if we create these Office 365 help channel, it could actually be helpful content to your users if it's how to use the video portal, how to use OneDrive, how to use Link, how to use Outlook, how to, you know, tips and tricks on how to become more efficient with using Office 365 in the Office suite. The second channel that we're going to create is a community channel. And this is part of our vision of next-gen portals, is that everyone will be able to participate right away. And so we're going to create this community channel that'll have open rights, where everyone will be able to upload to it and everyone will be able to view it. So you don't have to wait for someone to go create a channel for you. You don't have to figure out how to create a channel. You can take your video, drop it off at the community channel, and then you'll have a video that you can share with people and they can stream. So we'll take a step back, see kind of how we built this. In SharePoint 2013, we kind of provided the building blocks to build your own video portal. We even actually released a white paper of how you can build your own Contoso tube. And it went through all of these steps. It was broken down into these five projects. And it really was a lot of work that you had to do, but you could do it. You could build your own video portal on top of the progressive download playback that we provided in SharePoint 2013. But you had to make your own web parts and the queries and the templates and all that other stuff that you had to do. But what we're doing with video for Office 365 is we're packaging all of that up, doing all of those web part queries and all that other stuff, and building it for you. And so you'll already have this pre-built video portal right away. The other thing is, what kind of management settings are we going to provide with this video portal? We're taking this balanced approach between offering complete and utter customization and power and simplicity. And we're trying to make the tough design decisions to figure out exactly what pieces of management settings users and admins will need to be able to configure this to get use out of it, and keeping it as simple as possible so it's not so hard to use. And so we're really taking this balanced approach and trying to learn what is the right level and amount. We don't want to have so many flips and switches and dials that it's just so confusing to use. So these are what we're planning to go out with on our version one of this. You'll be able to set permissions on channels. You'll be able to have some categorization of the videos that we talked about. You'll be able to add and remove channels. You'll be able to do that spotlighting of channels and spotlighting of videos. And then we're trying to, on each channel, you'll have a tiny bit of branding to be able to set the color of that channel. And in the future, you know, hopefully we'll have other bits of branding that you'll be able to have at the channel level as well. So this is an early look at what those management settings pages would look like. We're going to have two management pages, one that you manage the video portal homepage, and then one where you manage an individual channel. All right. So moving on in the agenda, talked about out of the box, talked about got to see the video portal. Let's talk a little bit about key uses, and then we'll jump into architecture and some of the Azure backend stuff. So when we did focus groups and when we read some of the data out there and talked to customers, these were the main key uses that kind of bubbled up to the top for us of how people would use a video portal, how they would use it in the enterprise. So training, corporate messaging, community, help desk. So instead of talking from a slide, let's just click through what some of those channels could look like in the video portal itself. So if I go to the Browse All Channels page, I can jump into a training channel. So training channel will be really useful for HR type training, or here as Contoso set it up, they broke their training channel down by role. And so there's an operations group and an engineering group. And so by role, I could filter down the videos to just the ones that I wanted. Another really great use of training would be kind of for product teardowns or educating your field or sales folks. You can film little short videos of your products, of how to set them up, how to use them, and then put them out on the video portal and make sure that you're reproducing the same messaging across everyone in the field. Corporate messaging was another key use that people were using it for. We already saw the executive corner channel here. Here's a really good use of having the CEO or the leadership of the or owner of the company record little messages and send them out to the employees so that they can hear, even if they can't be in the same office with that CEO, but they can hear the CEO and get the same messaging and the vision of where the company is going. Another really great use of corporate messaging is company meetings. You can use it as an archive for all of your company meetings or department meetings. I know for myself, it's a really useful thing to be able to jump back and review a company meeting. Sometimes when I'm sitting in those meetings, it doesn't resonate with me exactly then, but I go back to my desk and a week later, I'm like, what did they say at that company meeting? Having an archive of them would be a really, really useful thing. The other thing is the community channel, which we said we're going to provision for you right away. So this is what the community channel could look like. While we're on the topic of community, let's jump in and see what upload would look like to do into the video portal. So from the browser, if I click on upload, it takes me to a simple upload page. I can choose the channel that I'm going to upload it to. And then I find my video, and I can either browse for it or I can drag and drop it. And I'm going to do it again. Drag and drop it into there. And what it's doing is it's uploading that video into SharePoint Online. And when it's done, it's going to jump us over into the player page and put it into edit mode so I can change the title, change the description, add some metadata about it. The video is not ready to play right this instant because it needs to be sent over to Azure Media Services to be transcoded, to get a thumbnail, and all that sort of stuff. So that'll take a little bit of while. But I could check back on this page and find the video when it's ready to play. If we switch over to the iPod, we have upload is there as well. Give it a second. So if I click the plus button up here at the top, I can choose an existing video or take a video right here on my iPhone. So I'm going to choose an existing video. I'm going to pick this one and hit choose, but you can't see that on there for some reason. It jumps me over into here. I can give it a title, whatever I type in a title. Yeah, Eurojobs. Oh, okay. Channel, you pick the channel that you're going to upload it to. You can categorize it. Then you can give it a description, and then it'll be uploading into SharePoint Online. Switch back to the slides. So our last key use is help desk. You could create your own kind of self-service help desk channel. Here, Contoso created a help desk channel for their IT help desk. They were having a problem with lots of people calling into the help desk, so they created videos for all of the common problems with VPN and BitLocker and Link that people were running into. They put a link out on their IT help desk system and said, hey, go check out these videos. Maybe you can figure out the problem your own. And so they even categorized the videos down right here in the same way that the help desk would categorize a ticket that they put out there. So these are really just a few of key scenarios that people could use the video portal for. It's really just a few examples, but you're really only limited by your imagination of what you can do yourself. All right, so we looked at key uses. Now let's jump into architecture and then into a bit about Azure Media Services. So here's kind of an overview of how Video for Office 365 is built. all of the features, the video portal, the mobile apps, the Yammer, the channels, the creation, is built on two main key ingredients, and that is SharePoint Online and Azure Media Services. So from SharePoint Online, we get the content store, we get the metadata, we get the security and compliance, and we get the search and the analytics that come from that. And with the content store, because it's built on SharePoint Online, you get the high availability and the disaster recovery that comes with Office 365. And then from Azure Media Services, we get all of the great stuff with transcoding, the adaptive streaming, the secure delivery, and with thumbnailing. So let's take a look at kind of a little walk through this system and see kind of how the flow would work. So we're going to look at an upload flow. So if I'm an uploader, I'm going to come and drop off my video to the video portal for Office 365. We're going to authenticate that user through our portal into SharePoint Online, make sure that they actually have an account, we know who they are, and that they have permission to write things here. We're going to store that video inside of SharePoint Online in the content storage databases. We're going to then send a copy of that video out over to Azure Media Services, and there they're going to do the transcoding. They're going to do that heavy lifting of figuring out how exactly to transform it so that we can do all the adaptive streaming. They're going to split it into a bunch of pieces, and they're going to do a bunch of bitstream rates. They're going to code it into a bunch of different sized formats and a bunch of different bitrate formats. When that's done and ready, they're going to send back a pointer, a URL, to the manifest for those video files, and we're going to store that inside of SharePoint Online in the metadata along with that video. When the thumbnail finishes, we're going to send the thumbnail back and put a copy of that back into SharePoint Online so that we can serve up thumbs from SharePoint Online. Now, if a viewer comes along and wants to view the video, they're going to authenticate through video for Office 365 through to SharePoint Online. We're going to make sure that they have the rights to view this specific video in this specific channel. And we're going to send back to them that URL so that they can stream the video themselves. And we're going to send it back to their player, and we're going to send back a token so that they can decrypt the content that we're going to be sending through Azure Media Services. So then they stream directly from Azure down to the viewer, and it's using this secure delivery concept where the video itself is encrypted and the player has the key to decrypt the content. So let's take a look one level a little bit deeper than that. What are exactly the components that we're using in SharePoint and in Azure? So in SharePoint Online, the way we have it built today off of the code that you just saw, we have the video portal being a single site collection where all of the videos are going to live. And inside that single site collection, we have every channel, and each channel is an asset library inside of that site collection. And we're using a new content type inside that asset library that allows us to send it over into Azure. On the Azure side, we're working with the Azure folks and media services folks, and they have a new service that built off of all of these pieces of technology that's part of Azure Media Services, and it's using compute and blob storage and table storage and queue storage and scheduler and Active Directory, Traffic Manager, and then all the core stuff and guts of media services itself. So then on the SharePoint side, we have one timer job that we're using as the controller of moving this data in and out of SharePoint Online. And so every time there is an add or delete event on one of these channels, the timer job picks it up, detects that that happened, and it sends over that information over to Azure. And so if it's an add, then we'll actually be uploading the video over into Azure. If it's a delete, then we'll be sending a message to Azure to have them delete it on their side as well. And then from the Azure side, they have a message output queue that we're reading that this timer job is monitoring. And so anytime there's an encoding or thumbnail event that happens on the Azure side, the timer job picks it up, and it then applies those changes over into the asset library. So once the encoding's done, then we're going to update that URL, the playback URL. Once the thumbnail is done, we're going to send it on over into SharePoint Online as well. All right, so we looked at the architecture a little bit. We're nearing towards the end, two more topics. And we're going to go through a little bit more details about Azure Media Services, what they bring to the table, and what we're using of theirs. So I think this got hit pretty well during the keynote today. But Azure Media Services powers some really premium video solutions. I mean, you look at those names up there, the CW, NBC Sports, the Olympics, Xbox, Gem Online, Blingbox. I don't have the logo for them. But it powers these really premium video solutions. And what we're doing as part of the video portal that we're building for Office 365 is we're bringing your organization into the ranks with these other premium video solutions. And so for your organization, you'll be able to get access to Windows Azure Media Services in a really easy way. So if you look at some of the stats, I think they went over some of these stats as well during the keynote. But I mean, these stats are pretty staggering when you look at them. For the 2012 Olympics, there was 18.5 petabytes of data delivered, 160 million streams, 217 unique users, 2014 Sochi Olympics, 100 terabytes of video, over 6,000 hours. They had that record-setting 2.1 million viewers for a single event to beat out a previous Super Bowl. And then the Xbox One that launched back in November, they built this little feature into Xbox One, the game DVR, where you can record your gameplay and then share it online and let people watch you play your little game. Over those few short months, November to February, 98 million videos. More than a petabyte of videos are stored in Azure Media Services. That's insane. That's a lot of gameplay. Then you look at NBC Sports. 195 hours, NHL 150 hours, English Premier League 930 hours over 310 events. The point of this is really just that Azure Media Services can supply video and stream video at this level, and so that's what we're bringing into your organization with Office 365. So for the a little bit more of the nitty-gritty, what does Azure Media, Media Services support? It supports all the common codecs that are out there for video and all the common enclosures and audio files. And you dump all of those into video for Office 365 or into Azure Media Services. And what comes out the other end is the ability to stream out to any device. So the what we're actually doing today with video for Office 365 is we're outputting it at H.264 at up to 720p. And then anywhere between 400 and 3,000 kilobits. And we're going to be doing those a bunch of different rates of those so that we can do the adaptive streaming. And then we'll stream it out with HLS, smooth streaming, or MPEG dash automatically on the fly. You had a question?
Sure, yeah.
Do you want to jump to the mic?
I was wondering if this solution just supports video that's uploaded and transcoded in the background, or if it will actually support streamed video, like live video.
For us, for video for Office 365, we're not going to be supporting live video yet. It's on our roadmap. We know that we'll be working with the Link team and the Skype team because they're working on some of that stuff too as well. And when that is available and we have it, the ability to do that, then we'll pull it into the video portal as well. But for our V1, we're not going to have live video.
Okay.
So this is what we're doing today as far as encoding, but this is a service, and so we'll always be able to work on better encoding patterns. When there's better codecs out there, when there's better parameters into the algorithms for encoding, we'll take care of that and do it in balance between size of the file, streaming, download size, and quality of the video, and we'll be able to tweak that as time goes on and change it so that you don't have to worry about that, and we do that heavy lifting. So the other components that we're getting from Azure Media Services, we're getting the secure delivery. And that's going to be done through either smooth streaming, Apple HLS. And the way that we're doing that is with this AES encrypted payload. So the way it works is that the video is going to be out on Azure's servers and streamed down to the user. And that's going to be over HTTP. But the payload itself, so it's split with the adaptive streaming, it's going to be split into 2-second chunks. And each of those 2-second chunks is going to be encrypted with AES 128-bit encryption. And so the player itself will have the key to decrypt that on the fly. And the reason why this is cool is because as time goes on, if we want to introduce Azure CDN into the picture so that we have better playback that way, or if you have cache proxies within your own network, you can take advantage of that because it's delivered over HTTP and not HTTPS, so we're encrypting that payload and not the channel itself. And then we're using adaptive streaming. So this gives us the ability to stream to any device on any network, the right format for the right device. And they're doing this through this dynamic remux. So we said we're outputting it to H.264 format, but then we're going to remux that on the fly to HLS or to smooth streaming or to MPEG dash, depending on what what browser you're using, what that browser supports, or what device you're using and what formats it supports. If you want to go deeper into Azure Media Services and how to build something like this yourself, Ming Fei is doing a session on Wednesday from 5 to 6:15. So if you want to check that out, she's got a deeper dive into Azure Media Services end-to-end video experiences using their technology. All right. So let's jump into the last thing we're going to talk about here is discovery. It was demoed a little bit today during the keynote. We're integrating the video portal into Oslo and into the Office Graph. So let's take a look at what that looks like. So this is Oslo. Oslo is a representation of the Office Graph. And what the Office Graph is the ability to find information inside your organization that you already have access to. So you already have access to all these documents, that you can read them, but you didn't even know they're existing or out there. And so Oslo in the Office Graph takes the signals about documents of when they're modified, when they're edited, who liked them, who talked about them in Yammer. And it takes information about you, what meetings you were in, who you are and who you use on your team and who you work with. And it circles all of that information around you to provide insights. You can do great things of like, what is trending around me? What did I like? What's shared with me? In the future, it'll be what was presented to me, that sort of thing. And so we're integrating the video portal directly into this experience. So here, if I take a look at what's trending around me, I see all this information. And over here, this has a little video symbol. Lincoln recently went to SharePoint conference in Europe, and so he uploaded this little video about European expansion. And so it's getting a lot of views, and people are seeing it. And it, Lincoln, is just down the couple of offices down from me. And so I can click right on here, and it'll launch right into the video portal, and it'll start playing the video. And so it's a really great way to discover video. Besides going to the video portal itself, you'll have other ways where we can bring video to you that is relevant to you, that is useful to your job right then and there. And so, why are we doing this sort of thing with next-generation portals with SharePoint and Office 365? Why are we making these out-of-the-box experiences? It's for experiences like this with Oslo and the Office Graph. If we know where the channels are inside the video portal, if we know where the video portal is itself, if we know what the authoritative content is and the ad hoc content is, we can send all of those signals and hook it up with things like the Office Graph and with Oslo, and be able to have these great experiences that wouldn't have been possible otherwise if we had a complete custom solution for every customer doing something different on their own every time. All right. If you want to learn more about Oslo and the Office Graph, you can go to this session that Jem and Viral are giving on Tuesday from 5 to 6:15. Check it out. They'll do a full deep dive into the Office Graph and into Oslo. All right. So video really is our first example in the next generation portal vision for Office 365 and for SharePoint. Video is just an example because it's simple and it's fast. It's mobile. It's social with the Yammer integration. And everyone participates, where everyone can come and put their videos in without being gated by an admin. So I hope you enjoyed the session. We'll go into questions and answers now. If anyone has any questions, feel free to jump up and come to the mic. Sure.
What's the hardware requirement on it? Hardware requirement.
It's built on top of SharePoint Online and Azure Media Services in the cloud. So as far as all of that is, you won't have any hardware requirement. Are you asking more specifically about what playback?
Yeah, this particular tool sits on a server, or anybody can download it on the PCs and play with it?
No, this is all an online in Office 365 Online. You can't install it on-prem right now.
Okay, thank you.
The client right now, we have an iPhone client, so that'll be available in the store, and then the rest is just a browser.
So will this just be included with Office 365 when it's released?
Yes.
So it's no additional charge, it'll be part of the suite.
We haven't announced pricing or licensing yet, but okay. We're trending towards that, yes.
And a time frame when you'll be released?
We haven't announced the date yet either. We're working as hard as we can to get it out as soon as we can.
Okay.
Are there any type of analytics or tracking to look at stats on videos viewed and who's actually watching them?
We don't have that built in today, but it is something that is going to be really important to us, and we know that people will want to know exactly who's watching videos, who's not watching videos, what videos are dead and just need to be deleted, and that sort of stuff. We don't have it built in our V1 timeframe, but it'll be on in the roadmap.
On your roadmap, is there any sort of local caching for like a big video that your entire staff's watching so it doesn't kill internet connections?
Yeah, so right now, I said we're delivering these securely over HTTP, and the payload is encrypted and not. So we don't have anything built into what we're releasing, but if you do have cache proxies inside your local network, it will do that caching for you right then and there.
Okay.
I know Azure has been talking about other kinds of solutions with peer-to-peer and that sort of stuff, so that may be coming. I don't know the specifics on that, but you know, we're thinking about those ideas.
Okay.
Yeah, you mentioned that you're transcoding information. Are you guys working on getting the metadata inserted into the videos so you could, from a search capabilities?
As far as like being able to have subtitles that we can then see inside the video and actually see what the content is,
said. From a CDN standpoint, you're going to have a lot of videos out there, searching capabilities. You're looking for all the videos related to whatever it is, you know, surfing or whatever it is. So we're thinking of this from an educational standpoint. How do we associate these videos when you get a couple hundred videos in there, the searching capability. Having the metadata in there would certainly help in that search capability.
Yeah, so right now you can put inside the title and description, you can type stuff in there, and that'll be surfaced in search. So that's what drives Oslo. Mm-hmm. All that information's in Oslo, so you do search it there. Or on our video portal, we'll have a search box that you can type in. We don't have the ability right now to like put in, I know some solutions out there have the ability to take what's the actual set in the video as the subtitles and stick that into there. That's something we're looking at for the future, but we don't have it right now.
Yeah, that's the other part. My question was having a process so you could actually have it do something after the fact, sort that video, and determine all the keywords that were used in that thing. It's an after-the-fact process, but I'm curious if you guys are looking into that.
Yeah, we are looking into that. There's some Microsoft research projects out there that are actually have some of that capability already. They haven't been brought to the market yet, but we're looking at maybe integrating some of those pieces into video once we get out the door and actually have a good, solid solution.
excuse me. On the 365 portal, will my users see something on that top toolbar, or do they click on the sites and find a SharePoint site?
We haven't got full approval by the Office 365 folks to put our link in the top nav yet, but we're working through it with them, and so our aim is to just have video up in the top nav. You click on that, you would come to the video portal. There'd be one place that you go.
Okay. And then on the CDN side, the storage, will that be something we have to purchase, or are there going to be for your tenant? Will there be a fixed allocated amount of storage that we have for storing videos?
Right now, the plan is that you will just upload your video into SharePoint Online. So if you need more storage, you would buy more SharePoint Online storage, and that's the plan right now. That you wouldn't have to figure anything else out. You wouldn't have to go buy any Azure or anything.
Okay, thanks.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on dynamic remux and timer jobs for adding and deleting events?
Sure. I'm not an expert in this, but the dynamic remux, as far as I understand it, is we're putting it into this mezzanine format, this kind of plain vanilla H.264 format, and then dynamically on the fly, the Azure Media Services can make it spit out an HLS stream that Apple understands, or it can spit out a smooth stream format based off of that same input file, or it could split out an MPEG-DASH format once browsers actually support MPEG-DASH more natively. And it does that automatically on the fly, so we're not transcoding an HLS format and then a smooth streaming format and then a MPEG-DASH format on the outset. We're putting it into one H.264 plain vanilla format, and then we're splitting it out as we go. And then the second part was about...
You mentioned timer jobs for adding deleting events. Can you
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to peel back the covers a little bit. That's all under the covers of what we have and how we've built it into SharePoint Online. And so that's not something that like anyone would be able to go build their own timer job, that anyone could go push things off to Azure, that sort of thing. Because we are SharePoint Online, we have the ability to build new things inside under the covers.
Thank you.
Sure.
Hi, talking about the search capability, you'll be able to, you guys start working on the search by text. Based on the video, like how you tag it with different keywords, will there be an ability to search by image? Like if I have a static image that I take a picture and then later I don't remember which meeting I attended, so I can search by that image and then it pull out from a video stream and bring it up?
Sure. Right now, we're only working on searching by text that's inside of the metadata of the title or description or the people in the video. Like I said, in the future, maybe we'll be able to pull in transcription and have that be keywords and that sort of thing. We haven't looked at all about like searching for image-based recognition sort of thing. I think there has been a little bit of talk, kind of very future thinking, of maybe we can do facial recognition, figure out people who's in the video and that sort of stuff, and so then you'd be able to tag people that way. But we haven't looked more into image recognition really at this time.
Okay,
thank you. Hi, would there be any anonymous access to the video content uploaded through this video portal?
Anonymous access?
Yeah.
So you want to be able to put your video out public and let
public
everyone
website,
do it?
Public website,
yeah. Yeah, we're purposely not, our business plan doesn't account for being able to do public video at this time. And so we're not going to make it so ability so that you can go put it out on whatever.com and have a billion people watch it all at the same time. This is really built a solution for enterprise for your authenticated users and your guests inside of Office 365.
Okay, kind of follow on. Will there be a way to integrate the videos we upload with the IRM, the Azure Rights Management, and will the iDevice and hopefully the Android app coming out support multi-factor authentication?
The IRM, we haven't talked very much about at that, so I don't really know. I know we plan to, like we said, AES Secure Delivery is a, I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but it's basically a good way to support, to prevent a man-in-the-middle attack. You have to trust your person who's viewing it because you're giving them the token to actually view the video. And so that's not full DRM, which IRM would be closer to something along those lines. So we do have plans to potentially support DRM in the future, but we won't have it in the V1. And then what was the second piece?
The mobile apps, will they support multi-factor authentication?
I'm not entirely sure. We're still figuring out the how to log in and authenticate our apps. We most likely are going to possibly use some of the same ways that the Office for iPad apps and all of them authenticate, and I think that they're building into that wrapper code that we could take advantage of. So it's a possibility, but I'm not guaranteeing it. But we're thinking about it.
Okay.
Hi. What about SharePoint on-premise? We have that functionality?
Right now, this is an online-only thing, based off of the way we've architected and that sort of thing. And I don't believe it's going to be an on-prem anytime soon.
All right. And social feeds, you know, you talk about the search, but about the I like and feeds that star 5 stars in a video.
Yeah, we don't have liking or starring right now built into V1, but as part of Oslo and part of all that other stuff, I think we're going to be seeing more of a generic liking and that sort of thing across the suite. And so as we get this out the door, we'll look at those shortly thereafter so that you can kind of like videos and see what other people are liking, that sort of thing.
Thank you.
File size limitations as far as an upload goes.
File size?
Yes.
It is, it's built on top of SharePoint Online, so SharePoint Online right now has a 2 gigabyte file limit, so we're bound by that right now.
Okay. All right. Any plans on changing that?
We'll change, it's still going to always be built on top of SharePoint Online, so as SharePoint Online increases that and makes it easier and better, I'm assuming over time that'll be better. As part of this video stuff that we're working on, we're also doing some work with large file upload to make that more reliable so that we can send it in chunks instead of doing one HTTP post of a giant 2 gig file. So we'll split it up into chunks and send it over. So as that becomes more mature, I'm guessing that SharePoint Online will probably increase that limit eventually, but I don't know for sure.
Okay. All right, thank you.
What about embedding the videos within our on-prem SharePoint?
I don't know. You technically would have the URL that you could get, you could embed it as an iframe or something like that. As long as you could authenticate in, maybe you could. But we haven't really thought a lot about those scenarios, so I'm not fully sure how or when you would do it. One of the other things that we're working on, like I mentioned, this vision for next-gen portals, is that we're going to come up very quickly with other stuff where you'll have the ability to write more pages and blogs and wikis and that sort of stuff. And as the rest of our team works on those as part of the portal vision that they have, videos will be able to be embedded in those sort of things going forward. So right now it's just a video portal, but over the next coming weeks and years, it'll be more of this more interactive writing stories about what you need to do and get done, your process or whatever, and then being able to embed videos in that as well.
So down the road then, as that capability comes available, or is there plans to allow like third party, like other companies we use, for us to link to them as well, like Salesforce, et cetera, to put those sales training videos in and stuff?
So is this more about like publishing the video out to?
To our salespeople that log into like Salesforce.
Yeah, that's come up a couple times, and so we don't plan on like allowing you to put these public out on YouTube or Vimeo mm-hmm. or whatever like that. But I could imagine a future where we actually do have a publish to blah, and then we let you kind of integrate in that way. Okay. So, but not anything final, but we're thinking about it at least. Is that it? Well, thanks everyone for coming. I really appreciate it. If you have questions or anything, I can stick around for a little bit. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming to our session.